Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Newspapers are on the brink. Book publishers are scratching for readers. But TV is flying high. Americans are watching more than ever. Top show, American Idol, gets 25 million viewers a night. Here's Simon Cowell last night ripping into one hopeful contestant.
It was verging on a horrible performance. It wasn't just the fact that the song was... Come on. It was how you performed it.
But we are changing the way we're watching. It's not just a box in the living room anymore. It's cell phones, laptops, iPods, huge screens, tiny screens. Video is everywhere. This hour, On Point, how and why TV and video watching are at an all-time high and where television goes next. You can join the conversation. Are you watching more and in more places, more ways? Are your viewing patterns and relationship with TV, with video, changing? How? Joining me now from New York is Frank Rose, contributing editor at Wired Magazine and author of the blog Deep Media. He's working on a book, Welcome to the Hyperdrome, about how narrative storytelling is evolving in the Internet age. Frank Rose, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. And with us from Brooklyn, New York, is James Poniewozik, TV critic for Time Magazine and author of Time's Tuned In blog about pop culture and society. James, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
James, first, these numbers. The average American in the fourth quarter of 2008 watching 151 hours of television per month, the most ever in all of our now pretty long history of TV watching. What do you make of that?
Is that all? no, you know, I think one of the big takeaways from the Nielsen study is that that partly this increased watching of TV is the result of this shift that we're seeing in what TV is and where it is. You know, it used to be that TV referred both to a machine that was in your living room,
right,
and the medium, the product that was, you know, conveyed through that machine. But now, TV, the entertainment form, is really, it's sort of a misnomer. It's really video. It's something that's been liberated from your living room, and that is, you know, everywhere. You know, as you say, you can get it on your cell phone or your laptop. You get it whether you like it or not on, you know, screens, on the backs of taxi seats and elevators and you know, on the treadmill at the gym and so forth. And so it's much easier for you to take it with you if you want to, and it follows you whether you want it or not in many more places. So it's not surprising that we're exposed to more and more of it because it's more and more with us.
Others are saying it's because of the recession. People don't go out. They're staying home and watching. We'll talk about all that. You say it's not what it was. Reality TV, of course, made a huge mark in recent years, but some of it still sounds familiar. Here's the show with the second highest ratings last week after American Idol, which we heard a snippet of. This is CBS's The Mentalist, police show, a cop with incredible powers of observation. Here the hero, played by Simon Baker, tricks a woman he suspects into confessing to a double murder. Let's listen.
It's going to be all right, son. I promise. It's going to be okay.
Where are you going?
Don't worry. I'll be right back. It's okay.
Come back! No! Dad!
Dad! Stop! 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 You have to stop it.
No, we can't. This is justice being served.
No, can you say that? Look what you're putting that boy through.
He'll forget eventually. It's fine.
No, he won't.
It's
no,
fine.
No, it's not.
Why?
Because I did it. I killed them. I killed them both. Oh, God.
Aha. The Mentalist pretends to arrest an innocent man, tricks the woman who he suspects into confessing. Frank Rose, this sounds like old-fashioned narrative television, to my ear anyway.
Yes. Well, it certainly is. I mean, I think what's happening now is, you know, after the initial euphoria of things like YouTube and so forth, you know, the idea that anybody can post any video they make online and, you know, make it available for millions of people to look at if they want to. We're beginning to realize that yes, as interesting as that is, as a phenomenon, you know, most people really want to watch professional entertainment, high quality, television. The people who make these shows, like The Mentalist, they know how to push our buttons. And, video is a very, very emotional medium. And shows like this really make the most of it.
Okay, here's what I don't get, Frank, and we'll talk about all the ways in which the technology is changing, and maybe that's the reason. But we're looking at these all-time high numbers, 8-plus hours per household per day, something like 5 hours and change per individual per day, more hours per month than ever in history. And yet you're saying, I think, basically, TV is dead. I think I'm quoting you right there, Frank. How can it be so popular and dead?
Well, the form is very, very popular. The medium is I wouldn't say dead, but it's certainly on its way toward extinction.
The medium meaning the box in the living room, or the TV industry as we've known it, or what exactly?
Both. I think, the TV industry is very, very challenged. The traditional broadcast networks are, certainly not making the kind of money that they used to. The profits now are in, niche cable channels, such as, Sci-Fi Channel, Bravo, that type of thing. The real problem, though, is that people more and more, especially young people, are beginning to watch TV on the internet, watch, professionally scripted shows or, non-scripted, quote-unquote reality shows online and, therefore bypassing the cable companies that provide television and upsetting the whole, economic apple cart.
People even doing the so-called cutting of the cord to cable. James Poniewozik, you had this. You wrote recently that after Thanksgiving, your TiVo died, and that happened. That was also your cable box, so your TV was dead. You strode into the world of online television. You said before you got there, being a TV critic, you were like a cotton farmer after a weevil infestation without your box. But you went online for television, and what did you find, James?
I found, I had used online TV, a fair amount before this, but this allowed me the chance to sort of have an experiment in going all online by necessity, and I found that most of what I wanted to watch on television, I could watch online or download through iTunes onto my laptop or take with me on my iPhone. So I found, number one, that, as a lot of other people have discovered, there's just a tremendous amount out there. Most of what you see on, say, NBC and Fox is available in pretty high quality streaming video through Hulu.
Hulu is this website, AP's website of the year last year, that takes NBC and Fox material and more,
yeah,
and then streams it online. You just go click in and watch it right there on your laptop.
Yeah, it's basically their commercial version of YouTube, in which they're putting their product online and making a dime off it by being able to embed advertising into it and so forth. So on the one hand, I found that very little changed for me. There were certain shows that I could not get, but most of what I wanted to watch on a weekly basis, I could find one way or another. But, I also found that in some significant ways and in some interesting ways, mm-hmm. It changes the viewing experience. For one thing, I found myself doing more sort of browsing and just finding old shows and watching them through serendipity because they happened to be something that was made available through, Hulu, which has this great old, this great archive of old shows or Juiced.
So you weren't a prisoner of the TV's listings, the schedule.
Yeah, the analogy I drew is that watching TV the traditional old-fashioned way is kind of like turning on a faucet, and whatever comes out of a hose, that's what you have to choose from. But going to something like Juiced or Hulu or iTunes is really more like browsing through a bookstore. If you go through the menu of offerings on Hulu, it's not by channel, it's not by, viewing time, it's just by, Hill Street Blues is listed next to House.
Whenever you want it, it's there. James Frank, let's hear from listeners. Billy, Columbia, South Carolina, you're on the air, Billy.
Hey, um, how talking to someone a minute ago about how I talked to my father into buying what's called Sling Box, and you know, it connects to any receiver. But what it allows you to do is you connect to your receiver. It'll you know, of course, it puts your cable or satellite, you know, signal over your home network, and you can access it via your computer from anywhere in the world, and you can watch television on your computer or laptop.
So are you doing that? Are you watching on your computer, your laptop, your cell phone, Billy?
I do use my cell phone sometimes to access on-demand things like Jay Leno and stuff like that, but I got my father to buy it because he's a superintendent, and what happens, you know, is they send him all over the world, so he misses a lot of television.
Right.
So he can now access it anywhere, you know, say he's in Europe or Spain or anything like that, you know, just anywhere in the world, he can watch whatever he wants to from his laptop.
That's amazing. And, so you're really free from the box, the cord, the works. You've got your Sling Box, and your dad watches what he wants when he watches around the world. You're watching on your cell phone. Here's Exhibit A. Billy, thanks for calling. James Poniewozik, Frank Rose, please stand by. Here's American Idol last night. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about TV and video viewing at all-time highs. Behind me, theme music from The Office on NBC, one of the most popular shows on Hulu, Hulu.com. Not straight from your box, but straight to your computer screen. Frank Rose joins us. He's contributing editor at Wired Magazine. James Poniewozik is here as well, TV critic for Time Magazine. As I said, Office, very popular among those who are going to Hulu.com to watch. Doesn't rank near the top of broadcast TV ratings, but one of the most popular shows via Hulu. Here's Steve Carroll, who plays the boss, Michael Scott, focusing on managing two of his employees.
Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to, on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. Jim, what is that called?
Micro-gement.
Boom. Yes. Now, Jim is going to be the client. Dwight, you're going to have to sell to him without being aggressive, hostile, or difficult. Let's go.
Let's go. And there's The Office, very popular among those who download. Hulu's not the only way. We heard Slingbox from Billy in South Carolina. He watches on his cell phone. Jay Leno, what about you? Are your TV viewing habits changing? Frank, James, we're getting lots of email on this subject here. This is from Pam. She says, when we were in the market for a minivan, the salesman asked us whether we wanted the model with the built-in DVD player. I replied we wanted the bookcase model, and that if the DVD studded model were the cheapest, I'd rip out the screens. Good grief. Now people can't even hold conversations or read or just look out the window and take in the changing scenery. We are a nation of vidiots. James, it's your business. What do you say?
Well, you know, I like to liken myself to, you know, a food critic.
A vidiot?
I mean, you know, just you know, if I were a restaurant critic, that wouldn't mean that I believe that people should gorge themselves all the time and, you know, become fat. You know, I mean,
right.
I also, you know, I'm a believer in moderation in all things. That said, you know, I don't believe that, you know, TV by nature of being visual, makes you stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as with everything, there are times to turn it off and actually, you know, engage with a book or another human being or whatever. And yeah, even I'm creeped out by this whole notion of having a screen to built into your minivan, so you don't have to look out the window. That said,
yes.
I have taken some 12-hour drives across the country with my kids, where I thanked God that we had a portable DVD player.
Never mind that Grand Canyon, children.
Yeah. Well, my drives are from the East Coast to Michigan, which is a decidedly less picturesque
right.
vista. So, you know, if we were going across the Great American Southwest, maybe it'd be a bit different. But
Frank, does the advent of so much television coming via the internet, I guess our caller Billy suggests yes is the answer to this, but does it not make it available much more places? I mean, the ubiquity of television and video goes hand in hand with its internet transmission, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously it used to be that you watched television on a TV set. Then it became the case that you maybe watched less television on a TV set and you spend a lot of time using your TV set to play video games. But what's happening now is that, you know, the TV can be used for, you know, video games, you know, television programming, whatever. But, you know, suddenly, you know, shows or television shows are available online. You can watch them on your computer, on your laptop, on, you know, in airports, wherever you want to, you know, and not to mention on the cell phone, thanks to, you know, devices like the iPhone, which have, you know, really great little screens.
Now, as we were saying, NBC and News Corp, Fox, got together to put up Hulu.com, and there are others. Juice, you mentioned, James, and others. But they're having fun here in a TV ad. You may have seen this with Alec Baldwin, star of NBC's 30 Rock. They're having fun with the whole idea of TV rotting our brains, even as they're reminding us Hulu will let us watch in a whole lot more places. Here's here's Alec Baldwin with his kind of sci-fi sales pitch for Hulu.
Hello, Earth. I'm Alec Baldwin, TV star. You know, they say TV will rot your brain. That's absurd. TV only softens the brain like a ripe banana to take it all the way. We've created Hulu. Hulu beams TV directly to your portable computing devices, giving you more of the cerebral gelatinizing shows you want anytime, anywhere, for free. Mushy mush. And the best part is there's nothing you could do to stop it. I mean, what are you going to do, turn off your TV and your computer? Once your brains are reduced to a cottage cheese like mush, we'll scoop them out with a melon baller and gobble them right on up. Oops, I think I'm drooling a little. Because we're aliens. And that's how we roll. Hulu, an evil plot to destroy the world. Enjoy.
James Poniewozik, they're having good fun there with riding our brains. How about it?
This is an eternal truth about TV. You know, I like to say the only thing more popular than television is hating television. You know, Americans love to watch television, and they universally believe that they're destroying themselves by watching TV. You know, there seems to be, you know, no contradiction in that for them.
Here's Eileen online suggesting one reason that for all these hours that are being chalked up watching. She says, my TV is often a talking lamp that's on while I'm doing many other things. I wonder if this is the case with many people. Just kind of the company we keep, Frank Rose?
yes, I think so. No, I mean, you know, what's you know, remarkable about TV now, thanks to, you know, services like Hulu, is that, you know, we've gone to search mode. You know, we've gone from, you know, schedules to search, and you can find, you know, literally anything you want. So, you know, it's completely changed, you know, the way we watch, even the type of things we watch.
Let's get a call from Dwight in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Dwight, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was hoping to ask your guest if the move to a more ubiquitous form of distribution, or the move to the Internet in particular, makes TV more vulnerable to a long-term threat from piracy. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago when the RIAA said it's just too expensive to prosecute pirates in courts. Is TV more vulnerable on the Internet?
Yeah, great question, Frank Rose. This goes to the joke that went around about Hulu, that it was Swahili for cease and desist. what about it? Is there the music industry model here where all this Internet flowing of TV content ends up killing the goose? Or does it get pirated, or does it get packaged?
Well, that's what Hulu was really designed to address. I mean, you know, the genius of Hulu was that you know, Peter Chernin, the CEO of Fox and CEO of News Corp, and Jeff Zucker, the CEO of NBC Universal, the two partners that created Hulu, realized that in order to avoid going the way of the music business, they had to create something that would, you know, give viewers, you know, what they wanted, anything, anytime, anywhere. And, you know, that's what happened to the music business. They didn't do that. They tried to, you know, protect their CD sales and their CD outlets, you know, all of which, by the way, are now going out of business.
But do they make the same money online with television as they do with broadcasting to, you know, cast of viewers of Ship of Millions at one fixed time?
Absolutely not. And, you know, that's one of the huge challenges. You know, Zucker has talked about, you know, moving from analog dollars to digital pennies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not as if this is unprecedented. In the late 1940s, when broadcasting was moving from radio to television, NBC had to take the exact same kind of hit.
Let's go to Ray in Charlottesville, Virginia. Ray, what do you know? Is your TV on, Ray?
Hi, Tom. No, my TV is off, and it's been off since June 9th, 2003 is when I gave it up for good and completely.
Sounds like stopping smoking.
No more broadcast television. And that simple exercise opened up amazing doors for me as a person. I started writing and performing stand-up comedy. I became a journalist. My IQ rose from 117 points to 138 points.
Way to go!
Thank you. I get all my news from NPR and the internet, and hopefully my news isn't as slanted as it's presented on broadcast TV. It's amazing what
news
you
on the
can
internet.
Accomplish.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and one of the panelists said TV doesn't make you stupid. All right, it may not make you stupid, but it takes up the time that you could be doing other things to better yourself and become a better person.
But you're missing out on all those reality shows, Ray.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm missing out on some real good entertainment. I will admit, though, I do miss the Idol tryout. I would laugh like a mental patient. And I do miss the upper cable channels, the History Channel, the entertainment, arts and entertainment, literature. I miss those, but you know what? I have filled my life with so many more important and fulfilling activities that I don't miss it. And it's a trend. The more people I run into that I tell this to, I'm finding a lot more people have been telling me the same thing, that they've just given up watching TV completely. They get their news on the internet and NPR, thank God for you guys.
Well,
and they found that they are just doing so much more with their lives.
Ray, that may be true, but if Nielsen's right, in that case, a whole lot of others are watching a whole lot more because the big number is going up, and we thank you for your call. Keep not watching, and maybe your IQ, you'll be a genius soon. You'll be Albert Einstein. Let's bring another voice in here. From New York, Douglas Rushkoff joins us, author and lecturer, thinks about the intersection of pop culture, media, and technology, author of Siberia. Douglas Rushkoff, great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
So what are we gaining? What are we losing? What do you make of these surging numbers in TV video viewership all over the place?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, initially I was kind of surprised by the fact that television viewing would go up when people are spending so much time with other screens. You know, in the early 90s, the average family with an internet connection was actually watching 9 hours less television per week than families without internet connections. But now, obviously, that's changed. And as I think about it, television is really the one screen in your life that isn't asking anything from you. You know, it's like your computer, it wants answers and emails, or click here, or buy this, or make sure you checked your stock quote, or your boss is in there, your work is in there, you're responsible for the data. I mean, there's just so much going on. The television just loves you unconditionally, you know?
how very contemporary.
In a sense, I mean, but if every other screen is making some condition on you, or pulling something, or you got a keystroke somewhere, in a weird way, television is a way of getting something back from all this screen activity. I mean, I'm not happy about it in the end. I feel like, you know, the internet and all these screens has made us work harder, not less. I think we're all on much more than we used to be. You know, you used to get on the train or get in the car or start walking home and it was over. And now it's almost as if work is only beginning when you leave the office, that it's going to stay on so much that the only time we have left for any entertainment, you know, we can't go out. We don't go out to dinner. You know, restaurants aren't doing better. You know, the movie theaters aren't doing better. PTA meetings aren't doing better. You know, what's doing better is a tube that you can turn on at 8 or 9 o'clock at night when you don't have energy or time to do anything else.
You've said we're too tired to go outside, too lazy to have sex, too busy to join the PTA. We watch TV. Really? Too lazy to have sex to turn on the tube, Douglas? The tube?
Well, so it seems. So it seems. I do, you know, we all know the famous anecdotes about, you know, whenever there's a blackout, there's, you know, more babies 9 months later.
Maybe. Let's go to Beth in Boston. Beth, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I guess, be a voice for scheduled TV in terms of building anticipation. And, you know, I have a young child, and when I am done with her and she's in bed, I really look forward to saying, you know, I'll say, oh, it's Monday, a new episode of The Closer is on at 9 o'clock. I can't wait to sit down. You know, we live with my mom and I will sit down and kind of make a date to watch it. Or I'll call my best friend who lives in another city, and sometimes we'll watch something together. And I think there's something to be said about having that communal experience of wherever you are, sitting around the TV together or separately in different places, but having the same experience at the same time, and then having to wait a week.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, what people traditionally liked a lot, I guess, in the family room. James Poniewozik, how about it? I mean, now we've got more TVs than people in the average American household. So everybody can watch their own TV in a separate room. They can watch different shows, different times. It's kind of atomizing. Beth is missing the old, you know, ring the bell for Jackie Gleason or whoever it is and come and watch at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, in a relatively short span of human history, you know, TV has really ingrained in us a lot of rituals that people have become accustomed to, and, you know, as you say, kind of would miss if they went away. And I think that's why, you know, the old fashioned sort of sitting down passively watching at a certain time TV is not going away altogether. A little earlier, you read some ratings figures, and you talked about how, you know, the number one show last week was American Idol,
right behind the Oscars, which is a, you know, one off. Yeah.
And then the number two is The Mentalist. And the interesting thing is that those are two examples of very sort of old-fashioned TV shows. American Idol being a show that, you know, pretty much every week you're going to sit down and watch that night because you want to see, you know, what happens live and, you know, who gets eliminated and so on. The Mentalist, a very old-fashioned cop show, you know, a crime show on CBS, sort of an older, more traditional audience. Those shows have higher ratings because those are not shows that as many people are going to be going and, you know, watching, you know, 10 days later on Hulu or something like that. They are the very sort of old-fashioned TV experience. And I think that kind of experience, you know, is still going to have a place in our society for a long time. I think that what you have now are, you know, shows that sort of work both ways. Just to give you a quick example, you know, I think a show like Lost does very well in this sort of binary atmosphere, whereas in that it's...
You mean watch it together at a scheduled time or watch it later on the laptop, maybe?
Right. You can just sit down and passively watch it on, you know, Wednesday at 9, you know, with your family or whatever, or... you can watch it online or go online later and discuss it, you know, intensively in chat rooms and, you know, deconstruct scenes and slow things down on your TiVo and video capture it and post it and analyze it with all your friends. You know, it both lends itself to the passive and to this sort of newfangled, new media, intensively active lean forward experience.
Here's the NCIS team. That's another popular one. James Poniewozik, Frank Rose, Douglas Rushkoff, stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about TV and video viewing at all-time highs and more viewing online. NBC's 30 Rock theme behind us, of course, stars Tina Fey as Liz Lemon, not among Nielsen's top 20 broadcast TV shows, but on Hulu, online viewing, it scores big among most frequently watched. Here's a scene where Tina Fey is being asked out on a date.
Morning, Dr. Baird.
Morning, regular person Lemon. Oh, hey, are you around this weekend? Maybe we could have that date.
Yes. Time.
Okay, how about Friday?
Oh, no, Friday I have a stupid show. How about Saturday?
Saturday? Okay, I guess that doesn't have to be weird.
Okay, then.
Okay. Valentine's Day it is.
Saturday is Valentine's Day.
30 Rock via Hulu online. You can watch it on cable, but you don't have to, and many don't on Hulu. Some are even letting go of their cable subscription now, just getting stuff online. We've been joined by James Poniewozik, TV critic for Time magazine. He writes the Tuned In column for Time. Frank Rose has the Deep Media blog, contributing editor at Wired magazine. His forthcoming book is Welcome to the Hyperdrome. And Douglas Rushkoff is with us from New York, founder of the Narrative Lab at the Interactive Telecommunications Program at NYU, New York University. Let's get a call from Springfield, Massachusetts, and Anthony. Hi, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Well.
I just wanted to mention services like Boxy, which they just announced that they're going to be releasing a set-top box, but it works with other set-top boxes you can buy that are relatively inexpensive, and they allow you to watch Hulu content, content from like CBS.com, a lot of different internet content right on your TV. And I work nights, so I don't get to see a lot of my favorite shows when they're on. So that's a great way for me to be able to watch all those shows I want to on my TV and not have to sit with my friends around a small laptop screen.
Right. So let me get this straight. I mean, what you're doing here, it's not broadcast and it's not cable. This is online television, but it's funneled via this software package, Boxee, to your television screen so you can watch it on the comfy couch if you've got it on the big screen.
Exactly. Exactly. So it lets me watch all of the stuff that's available for free on the internet on my TV.
But one piece of news, and it may be bad, I think, Frank Rose, that Hulu has just announced, it's not going to be viewable on Boxy. Is that true, and why?
Yes, it is true. They announced that Wednesday of last week. And, you know, it's really the first time that Hulu has backed off from the promise that, it made when it was launched last year.
Why do you think they backed off? What's the problem with it being funneled onto the big TV screen in front of the couch?
Well, you know, watching stuff on a computer is nice, but it's most of us don't have 50-inch computers, and the big screen, the big flat panel screen is really the last thing that that television itself, in a traditional sense or even in a time shifted sense with TiVo, has to offer that's different from a TV on the internet.
But Hulu's saying no. That means it's NBC and Fox stuff, and the rest won't be there. Is that because they're afraid of offending the big cable companies if they let their stuff stream right onto that nice big screen without the cable charge in there?
That's certainly the suggestion. You know, after all, Time Warner Cable, Comcast, these companies are paying good money to carry cable channels. You know, like the Sci-Fi Channel or USA or whatever. And if people can watch stuff from those same channels, watch shows from the same channels on the big screen TV without paying exorbitant, frankly, fees to the cable companies, that's a real threat. And that's happening more and more. I mean, people are cutting the cord, as we were discussing earlier. There, if you can just rely on the internet for anything you want, it's a lot better. You go from 500 channels and nothing on to no channels and everything on.
James and Douglas, I want to ask you how that may affect TV, but we've got callers on just this point from Hartford, Connecticut. Nick, you're on the air.
Oh, well, hello there, Tom.
Hi.
I just picked up your show on the radio, and so I'd call in. I'm a 20-year-old college student here in Hartford.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually turned off my television mostly. I mean, I still have it. I have it a DVR so I can record the shows I can't find online. But
right.
Hulu is great. I mean, anything, like what I like about the internet distribution platform is that anything I want almost at any time is there. I mean, I'm guilty of a little bit of pirating. And I mean, any movie I want pretty much I can download, and within an hour I'm streaming it to my television via my Xbox. So, I mean, it's great.
But in general, I mean, you've got a TV, but you either don't turn it on or don't use it in anything like the traditional way. Your computer internet link is now your primary television link, without really the box being the key player here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, I use like they have lots of great technology now. Like the new PlayStation, the new Xbox can all send information from your computer to your television. And I mean, with like subscriptions like Netflix, they have something new out where if you own an Xbox, you can rent movies on Netflix. You don't have to wait for them to be mailed to you; they could just instantly appear on your television through your Xbox.
We're in a new world here, Nick. Thanks for that. Let's get another on the same theme from Charleston, South Carolina. Nickel, you're on the air. Hi, Nick.
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, I gave up television about a year ago and traded it for Hulu, ABC streaming, and other online services. And I found out the trade that I had to make was I gave up pop culture. Just this week, I found out who the Jonas Brothers were. But I knew before anyone else what was going on with Al-Shabaab in Somalia or Netanyahu in Israel. So that was the trade I made, was pop culture for current events.
Now, why is that? And again, the terminology gets really kind of funky here. You say you gave up television, but you were still watching TV. You were just streaming it online instead of watching it through traditional channels. But why did that lead you to a greater insight about Somalia and Netanyahu?
Well, I found that I have more time to read the news online, to listen to NPR, because now I can watch the 4 hours of shows that I want to watch when I want to watch them. I don't get sucked into channel surfing and basically sitting there mindlessly looking for something to watch. I seek what I want to see.
James Poniewozik, we're hearing from this new generation that's just interacting in a whole new way here. As you said earlier, even sort of understanding what TV means is a little bit murky here. It's not the box exactly. It's not the cable feed necessarily. It can be on the internet, but clearly it's a lot more in the hands of the viewer to control what and where and when they're watching.
Yep. Which you know, ideally can be great because, you know, hopefully in a perfect world, you're then watching TV better. You know, like your last caller said, you're watching, you know, fewer things just for the sake of turning the TV on, and you're actually seeking out and selecting the things that are the highest, you know, value to you. I mean, there are so many ways this potentially changes TV, but I mean, just one of them is, what does a TV network mean anymore? You know, does NBC matter anymore when, you know, your first caller is at college and watching everything through Hulu? And why shouldn't he? Because he's probably getting his high-speed internet connection for free. You know, then when you're watching 30 Rock, you're just watching 30 Rock. You're not watching NBC anymore. Likewise, when Tina Fey did her, you know, famous Sarah Palin imitation
right
on Saturday Night Live this fall, more people watched that online.
I saw it on YouTube. I never saw it on SNL. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, what does that mean for the, you know, the sort of common, you know, pop cultural lexicon? If you're watching it on Saturday Night Live on Saturday night, and I'm watching the same performance clipped out and, you know, embedded with partisan comments on Huffington Post or, you know, Politico or something like that, are we even watching the same text? You know, or are we really sort of watching, you know, two very different things?
Right. So there's
sort of been liberated from its original context.
There's the liberation or fragmentation theme. What about the business end of that? Does it mean that ultimately those studios that make the premier polished shows go away? Hulu has ads. You can, I think, choose to watch them all at the beginning or interspersed. But will they support, James, the kind of polished television people turn to when they're not going to YouTube, let's say?
You know, I mean, that's the $64 million question. I certainly hope so. There are all sorts of established entities that could go away. It could be that the studios that are making the programs still continue to make them because there's a demand for the programming itself. But do the networks still exist in the same way 10 years from now? Because, you know, consider, what does a network mean? The original reason for networks was that you needed to have an entity that owned transmission towers and affiliates of local you know, TV stations in your town in order to transmit, you know, those electrons from one place to where you are. Well, you know, there's not as much need for that anymore. So do the networks go away? Does it become more an a la carte purchase or transmission of a single entertainment product from the maker to you? You know, that could change. Any number of things could change. It also could, ideally, promote more, you know, interesting kind of adventurous programming, much like HBO has, by making programs that never would have flown on broadcast TV because they found people who were willing to pay for them. The question is how you monetize that, though. You know, one of your guests talked about the fact that, you know, TV was trying to avoid having the music industry's problem. Maybe to an extent it has, but, you know, now it kind of has the newspaper industry's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants their product, but there are so many ways of avoiding paying for it or avoiding watching the ads, so how do you make the money?
Douglas Rushkoff, give us a little meta here. I'm curious what you're thinking as you hear all this. I mean, on the one hand, James is describing this kind of to infinity and beyond, where you've got TV, you've got it a million ways, you can package and embed it, you know, any way you want, but it's still interacting with a screen. You've said recently that you think maybe we're at the apex of that. Maybe we take a turn at some point, even though the numbers are bigger than ever, and want to go back to people to people, not person to screen.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as the, you know, there's three different media that we're talking about here. You know, one is the internet, one is television, and the other is money, which really is a medium with biases of its own. You know, the way we currently understand in a market society how to make money is by making something scarce. And broadcast traditional network television had something scarce, and that was schedule time. You know, three network channels, each with, you know, a couple of hours in the evening that they could potentially get all of America to watch. And if you missed that, it was gone. So there was a scarcity to those hours, to you know, the prime time, even the notion of prime time. I mean, what does that even mean anymore? There was prime time. The internet makes all of this media less scarce. Right? It makes all of this programming less scarce. It allows people to create their own media for very little money, to create their own content, their own movies. So now you have content creation from the periphery that doesn't need these huge loans of money. You know, while you've got Time Warner sitting there, Vivendi, these other basically names on debt, you know, sitting there, these companies that are may as well be banks.
But what about a fourth media, a fourth medium, Doug, beyond all those, which is sort of back to the future, back to, you know, you and me, face to face. I smell your body, you smell mine, your breath, we see each other.
Well, that's what happens. It's funny that we look at television in this sort of quaint way that, oh, if the family would sit around. I mean, yeah, there was that short period of time in television's lifespan where we all sat in the living room and watched television together, you know, until cable, and then we all separated into our own rooms and watched our own advertising anyway. I mean, the beauty of television and why it will remain alive is that it is a spectacle medium, a spectacular medium that can reach everybody at once at a specific time. It's a synchronous medium, where the internet is an asynchronous medium, where we all do our own things and watch our own things at our own paces. Ideally, what happens if we get more of our own time is we would reconnect in the real world. I mean, that's the holy grail at this point is true FaceTime, is more time in meet space, not less. And that's been the promise of the internet from the beginning, that you're going to be able to work at home so you won't have to commute to work. You'll have more time to spend with your family. It hasn't yet worked that way because we haven't yet taken back our time. The net seems to grow on us in a way and grow on our corporations in a way that we haven't yet figured out how to reclaim our own reality in the face of it.
Wow. Let me get one more listen here. Lisa in Watertown, Massachusetts. Lisa, our time is short, but thanks for coming. What do you say?
Hi, Tom. Well, I'm just laughing because this whole last year I was thinking of getting rid of TV altogether, and then I started looking at HDTV, and I just bought a high-definition TV, so I'm in love with my TV again. But now my dilemma is cable just costs so much, and with a child, I love the on-demand services, but I find myself using a TV more like a computer where I want to just look at the HD channels or record things and come back. So now I'm like, well, I can't live without the internet. I can live without cable as you get more things like Hulu and things. So.
Right. So hello, Hulu. Here maybe you come. Lisa, I'm sorry our time is running down, but Frank, there's the voice of cost. We're in a recession, depression. I don't know what it is. We're staying home and watching. Lisa and many others don't want to pay. That's what happened to music. You know, people looked for the free way, and they found it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, what Hulu is you know, really a way to avoid, you know, losing control to piracy. You know, yes, the networks are offering this programming for and getting far less money for it than they would than they do on network television or on cable channels.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they realize that it's either that or you know, lose control entirely, and you know, just create a huge market for pirated programs.
James, what are you watching tonight?
Too much. Obama bumped back American Idol's finals tonight, so, you know, I got to catch that live on television the old-fashioned way, like God intended it.
Right.
And then we have, I believe, The Office, 30 Rock. Thursday night is just overpacked.
Must-see TV, but hey, you can watch it.
Like Douglas said, I'm a slave to my medium now. It has not freed up my life.
It's not freed you, but you can watch it anytime. You can be a slave anytime now.
Exactly. I can be a slave 24 hours a day. It's bliss.
Hey, everybody into the pool. James Poniewozik, it's always great to have you with Time Magazine. Thank you for joining us, James.
Thanks very much.
Frank Rose with Wired Magazine. Frank, thanks for being here.
Thank you. That was great.
Douglas Rushkoff, you're always terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, here's the Simpsons theme, 20 years old now, onto that old box in the living room. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.